Forgiven today. Let's all stand up and say thank you, Lord, for doing that. Let's sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Then we're going to have these guys come back. I mean, you enjoyed them so far, so amen. Amen. Let's sing. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It really doesn't matter what the people say. There's something mighty sweet. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to have the Deliverance Quartet come back. Let's give them a hand as they come back. Amen.
Oh, Amen to that. Amen. God is good all the time. Man, isn't that good to know this morning that we're forgiven? But not only that, we have a God who is good, who never leaves us, who always loves us. Man, that is something to rejoice in this morning. Amen?
Amen.
That's so good. We are Deliverance 5. Ever since we first got in contact with y'all here, we're Deliverance Quartet, but now we're Deliverance 5.
Yeah.
So we've changed a little bit. You know, 4 doesn't equal 5.
Yeah.
So kind of different. But we are just so happy to be here. We are from the University of Mobile. We're just going to take a moment. Guys, why don't you just introduce yourselves, okay?
Okay. Hi. My name's Blake.
How are you?
To them! Come on!
Oh.
Y'all know each other. Nice to meet you.
Okay.
Y'all know each other. Right. Blake, why don't you start?
Well, my name is Blake Thompson. I'm from Fairhope, Alabama. I'm a vocal performance major with a concentration in musical theater. Silencio!
Well, he's always like that, just if you were wondering.
Dalton,
go ahead.
Nope. Try again.
Wait, Dalton. Oh, Dalton. Sorry, dude. Sorry.
My name is Dalton. My name is Dalton Steiner. I'm from Bayou La Batre, Alabama. I am a freshman at the University of Mobile, and I am very excited of what the future holds for me.
Awesome.
Yep. Awesome.
That's great, man.
Yeah. Silencio.
Wow, that's great. My name is Matthew Brown. I'm from the good old land of Jacksonville, Florida. Woo!
See, I didn't even have to say silencio that time. They got it.
Well, that's okay. It's okay. That's okay. I'm a vocal performance major, and go Gators. Anybody?
Roll Tide!
Roll Tide! Yeah, Roll Tide!
Yeah, I said Roll Tide, and their eyes went like, woo!
Hey, and in case y'all were wondering, this was Elf.
Yeah, Buddy the Elf right there.
Oh wow, y'all are crazy. Okay,
I just like to smile.
Dalton, right?
Dalton. Yes.
Dalton. Okay, good.
Dalton. Thank you. Dalton. Dalton. Everybody's like, wait, that's the same name. No, it's not. It's a little bit different. Hey, I'm Dalton Steiner. I'm also a freshman. I'm a worship leadership major with concentration in church ministry, and I'm loving this life that I'm living right now, and I'm excited about the future, and I'm happy to be here.
That's great.
Amen.
Yeah. Anybody ever been to Bayou La Batre?
They live there. Bubba was from Bayou La Batre, Alabama.
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Bubba. Bubba was from Bayou La Batre.
Ah, you can't do it.
All right, this is a lot more.
My name is Chris Jenkins. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, ah.
And I am a musical worship leadership major with a concentration in film and theater.
Awesome. Wow. And that's Deliverance 5.
No!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Blake. Deliverance 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Blake, no!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You forgot about Will.
No, he's from this church. You know,
no, he's not.
The audience. Yeah. I was like, hey, dude, we need somebody to play
piano. He's been with us every weekend this year.
Wow, you go to a lot of churches, man.
Wow.
Hi, my name is Will Carpenter. I'm from right here in Mobile, Alabama. And
this is Sarah Lynn.
No, oh, that's right. This is Sarah Lynn. I'm sorry. I'm from right down the road in Mobile, Alabama. We're usually in Mobile when I say that, so my apologies. I'm from Mobile, and I'm a music business major from the university, and I think that's everybody cares to know about me.
Oh, that's great. That's
how
great.
Long have you been playing piano?
2.5 weeks.
Oh.
All right, guys, no lie in church, really, how long have you been playing that?
11, 12
years. 11, 12 years. Oh, wow. Okay, that's a long time. Yeah. That's cool. Now, you know, I think one thing that all of us, no matter what our age is, I think one thing we understand about our faith is that one day we're going to go home to be with Jesus. Yeah. And we're looking forward to that day. One day he's coming back, that's for sure. He's coming back one day. So, Blake, why don't you sing?
Thank you.
day that will be. Amen. One day he's coming back for us if we don't go meet him before that. That's something to look forward to. Doesn't that just bring joy to your heart? No matter what you believe in, what kind of different part of Christianity you follow, he's coming back for us one day. And that's something we can all look forward to. Amen. The beautiful thing about this group is that, this music we sing, it speaks to your heart. There's hymns and songs that have been around for a long time, like Amazing Grace, like The Old Rugged Cross, songs that don't change, songs that everybody loves because, man, that music just speaks to you. It's not something that's hyped up and made big or anything. It just has words that speaks to your heart. And this next song is one of those songs. It's called Because It Lives.
God sent His Son, and we called Him Jesus. He came to us. Heal and forgive.
God's word says to worship him in spirit and truth. Do you mean those words? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds my future, our future, the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's sing that chorus one more time.
Because he
just because he lives. Life is worth living because that grave could not hold our Jesus down. Amen.
Thank you.
excited about some of those songs about being redeemed and because he lives. There's something missing in your life. He's a great God. You know, the sad reality, there you go, you have your seats back if you like. Sorry about that. The sad reality is this. Somewhere along the line, we've been to that cross that the gentleman from Pittsburgh sung about a moment ago. We have been to the cross. We've received a redeeming work, or he's done a redeeming work in our life, and we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. But somewhere along the line, if we're not careful, we forget about how good he is, and we begin to focus on some things we shouldn't focus on. And I like the verse that Matthew quoted, 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he's got a great invitation for you and me. He invites us today. Today, this very day, he invites you and me with his invitation. His invitation is the same that his son had while he walked earth. And it's the same that he gave there in the book of Malachi, where there were a bunch of people going through the motions. You know, when you look around today, you saw some people really happy and enjoying themselves. But if you had a mirror and you could look or do the little selfie picture of yourself, you might not have that same joy bell ringing in your heart and soul as the others around you. You might say, what's missing? What has happened in my life? And then again, there may be some of you who have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. In America, where we live, we are given the freedom to worship here with Bible in lap and hand and see it on the screen and be taught during Sunday school and then here during church, hear a little bit of encouragement as we close this service out. And you and I, we're blessed beyond measure, but sometimes we forfeit the things that God wants us to have. We can sing about blessed assurance and on a hill far away. But there's something missing in our life. If you would turn with me to Malachi chapter 1, and we'll reference there, is the whole month's theme has been on where, it's been on honor. And today's title is, Where Is My Honor? God wants us to honor him, and that's what's been going on in these men's lives, is there, whether they're a freshman, sophomore, if they're from Ballabatry or Fairhope or wherever they're from, even from Pittsburgh up there, you know. Way up there. So I know where Pittsburgh is. We didn't like them because I was always a Cleveland Indian fan, but a Cleveland Brown fan in football, so Cleveland Browns. But seriously, when we look to God's word, he asks this question, where's my honor? And the last of the Old Testament voices or prophets, he calls for God to make their paths straight. If your joy level is depleted, or you don't have in your life the whatever it is that you're missing, you know, that joy in your life or the peace with God, I want to share with you, you don't have to leave that way. You can leave much differently. And in fact, what God will do through the songs that have been sung and through the Sunday school lesson you listened and through this message we'll preach, here's what God does. He confronts us with reality of his person. God is real, and he is a good God all the time, and he can't outdo God. Every gift that he gives from above is good and perfect, and it comes right down to where we live. But the confrontation is this. He says, where is my honor? Look with me in Matthew 1:6. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of his word? Matthew 1:6. He says here, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father... Question, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests. And this is strange here, strange twist. You know what a priest is? He was one that went through, well, we're a priesthood, if you will. You look at 1 Peter, we're chosen, we're redeemed, and we're part of the body of Christ. And here we see, he says, O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Father, help us as we bring to a close a confrontation that we need to have with you, or you need to have with us, and we might even be able to hear a commendation. But Lord, we pray that you'll help us today as we look through these few minutes that we have with your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like us, you may be seated. Thank you. Like us, the people of Malachi's day, before the 400 silent years, and then the next prophet that came was John the Baptist. But like us, they knew the great I Am. They knew that God alone is worthy. He is worthy. And he asked them this question through this burdensome message that Malachi is to give to the people. Where is my honor? And when they asked this question, wherein have we despised thy name? The question then is this: you are dishonoring me. And he wants to know where it is. He confronts these priests. They were the ones who were to be protecting his name. Do you know you and I have a responsibility? His banner over us is love, and we go as his ambassadors with a message of reconciliation, and you and I are to protect his name. Never, never should we use it in vain. Always we should use it in a way that lifts and encourages another, that we go in the name of Jesus. But sometimes, like these priests of this day that were confronted by God, they gave, but here's the problem, they gave no weight to God's word. You know, there would be no basis for any of this singing if it didn't have some kind of tie back to some reality of God's word that tells us about this eternal God who comes right down to where you and I live, that when we do pillow our heads at night, we don't need to fear. We can sleep in peace knowing that God is going to supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. But those people knew this great I Am was worthy of, he was worthy of honor, but they listened to what he said do, but they... Well, they gave their leftovers. How many like leftovers? I preached a message on that, on leftovers. Had one person said they liked it. Nobody else did, but the one person did. I like leftovers. When Edie fixes food, I always want her to fix extra. And she says, why? Well, I don't really tell her, but I want some food left over. You know, after Thanksgiving, I like to have some more dressing, some more turkey. I've done pretty good eating the leftovers. Leftovers are good. On a human plane, on our mentality, our understanding, we can take something that hasn't spoiled and it can be palatable, it can be edible, and it might be even nutritious to some extent. But let me share with you that God doesn't want our leftovers. He wants our best. And if we know what his best is to be, we have to give weight to his word. They gave no weight to his word. They didn't value it. They heard it, but they went on doing what they wanted to do. And if you read the entire passage, you can see that they gave no worth to his name. These were God's people. God's people. And they gave no consequence to their disobedience. An element that's missing in our society that was alluded to by Jack Foster when he said something about Japan and other countries are rewriting their constitutions, and we have a good constitution, wish we would just go by it. It was what Jack said, something to that extent. But you know what? We live in a society that thinks there's always a loophole for everything and there's no consequence to disobedience. But God says, no, I am a just God. I'm a loving God. If you knew about the love of God, you'd love him so much you did what you would want to obey him. And as God presents his case, he says, where is my honor? He talks about their service. He says, your service is drudgery. It's drudgery. Malachi 1:13, the first part. Behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. So you look at the outline. The first point is drudgery. The second point is despicable. Your sacrifice is despicable. You know, there's a thing. I know Ethan was waiting. I'm trying to scoot through some things, Ethan. So that's the reason you're waiting for that first line. Some of us are trying to serve two masters. Since he put it up there, he had to because he couldn't get rid of it. Life serving two masters is a real problem. Jesus says you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't straddle a fence. You either love me or you love the world. He gives that as an understanding. And here when we read in Malachi 13, the first part, it says, ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. That means, I've told you what you should do, and here's what the priests do. They go, have you ever had a child, maybe you wish you wouldn't admit this, but you've said to your son or your daughter, I want you to go make your bed, or I want you to go do this, or take out the trash, and they just sort of go, exhale loudly. That's what snuffed means. The priests wouldn't even shut the doors of the temple for nothing. They had to be remunerated. They had to be paid. They had to have some kind of return on it. They wouldn't keep the fire on the altar unless they were compensated. And God found absolutely no pleasure in their service nor their sacrifice. Verses 7 through 10, you can read about it. They offered polluted bread. They did this, they did that. Their sacrifice, the people were offering that which was blind and lame. And God says, I want the best. You know, he gave us his best. He gave us his only begotten son, his son Jesus, the Lamb of God. And he came down and gave himself for you and for me. Why should we give him leftovers? Why should we not give him our best? People were offering things that were despicable. And you know, when it's pointed out, their attitude is defensive. The attitude is defensive. Each time that God confronted their sin, they became defensive with God. And you can listen to their responses. God says in Malachi 1:2, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved me, or loved us? Malachi 1:6, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Every time God in his confrontation gives to these people the very thing that they need to hear, because at the end of this book, there's a grand invitation. It's a glorious invitation. He says, I'll bless you if you will allow me, but you must come to me. That's sometimes hard for us as humanists that we are, thinking that we're in charge of everything in our life, that we need to know that God is greater than we, and we need to depend upon him because of who he is. We could go on. He says in Malachi 3:7, he says, return unto me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? What do we have to return from? You know, you can get cold, and then you can come to a service like this morning, hear the Deliverance 5, and that includes Delton and Dalton. You can hear that music, and it will minister to your soul. It has that rhythm, has that melody, and it has that harmony, and those components, three of them, and they bring about a glorious sound to your soul, and all of a sudden you say, wow, I'm enjoying this. But what will be when you exit the doors? Do you have the same melody in your heart? Does he go with you? He wants to. He wants to. Great question out of Malachi 3, often given during stewardship moments. Will a man rob God? He asks through the prophet. The prophet writes, yet ye have robbed me, God says, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Every time he confronted them, they were defensive in their attitude. And then lastly, as far as this confrontation, their whole thought process was, or at that moment in their life, was delusional. The people actually thought they could handle their riches better than God. We're stewards. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth of every mine. It's all his. You and I have been purchased if you're saved. When a man robs God, he's actually robbing himself. Think about that for just a moment. You know, there was a passage, you can look it up and read it later. There's the word treasure, and we'll maybe another time. Let me share this with you. You go from confrontation to condemnation. And the question is, where are the good things God's blessed you with? Now, I'm thankful for my eyesight. I can see a good crowd. I'm thankful for my ears because I could hear you sing praises to God. I'm thankful for the handshake and the ability, you know, those five senses that we have to come up and shake another's hand and his heart, her heart, bearing witness with mine, yours with one another. We are encouraged or edified through fellowship. But some way or another, how is it when we're alone? How is it when we go to our home today? And we do a little personal inventory. You ever done an inventory? The IRS wants you to do that every year by April the 15th. They want you to inventory every penny you've made, and then they want to make sure you've paid the right taxation. And so if you haven't, you'll owe, and if you paid more, you'll get a refund. But so that's sort of an inventory. There is something going out and something coming in, something where there was a lack and you needed to pay more. But when we inventory ourselves by ourselves, when we're alone in inventory, ask yourself this question. Where's my harvest? Where is my harvest? God very powerfully confronted his people with their failures to honor him. Where is my honor? It's about him. And now he presents to them the corresponding condemnation in Malachi 2:2. If you look there, it says, if you will not hear, if you won't hear me, if you will not lay it to heart, if you don't heed what you hear to give glory, that word glory 32 times in the scriptures is translated honor as well. If you won't give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. How many want a curse from God? How many knows this? Do you know this? And I don't mean to be negative, but this is an honest thing that you need to know. I always want to be honest with you. This is very frank. God is an immutable God, and if he pinned it to these people this day, he's going to treat us the same. I know we live in a church age, an age of God is the same, and he deserves the same glory and honor and praise. He alone is worthy, and he comes to us individually. His convicting power, the Holy Spirit, says to you and me, where's my honor? Where is my honor? Haggai addressed the people who had taken good care of themselves but failed to take care of the house of God. Haggai 1:6 says, ye have sown much. Now listen to this. You've sown a lot. The other day I put out some rye seed in a place I could never do any grass. And I watered that little patch, and I'm not getting deer. This is at the house underneath the tree, thanks to Matt Cooper. But he helped me level some of my dirt pile out. But anyhow, so I planted that seed, and I watered it and watched it, and I watered it and watched it and watered it and watched it. I sown much. Seemed like I've gotten low. Then the rain really came, and it washed these little gullies out. So now I'm going to get grass down the gutter, probably not on the grass, on the yard, on the hillside. Have you ever sown much and brought in little? Have you ever worked hard and wonder where the proceeds have gone? But God says there, ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. How many would like to get your check on Friday? No, it's gone on Saturday. Some of you say that happens already. Your income is greater than your outgo is greater than your income, and that's not good. But God gives a condemnation, and he invites them to put him to the test. In the third chapter, he says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. You can look at chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. God says, prove me. Hudson Taylor said it like this. A little anecdote of him. He put God to the test in his prep time in his preparation to go to China. He had decided not to remind his employer that his salary was due so that he could see God provide for him, much like George Mueller, if you know who he was. So one day when his rent was due that week and his salary was past due to be paid to him, his employer suddenly remembered he was overdue to pay Hudson and then had no cash on hand. That night, one of his patients couldn't sleep and after 10 p.m. came to pay what he owed. The doctor then had to cash enough pay Hudson Taylor, and Taylor could pay his rent, buy his food, and confidently proceed to China. What am I trying to say? You can always trust God. For any who will take care of his word, listen, give weight to his word and to the worth of his name, honor him in all ways, he always will supply. And there's a commendation. That's the third and final point. Here we are this morning. He gives a great invitation. He offers to his people a very gracious invitation. He says in Malachi 3, the second portion of verse 7, he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. The music this morning captured your attention. The Sunday school lesson, you caught some of that. Somebody's encouraging as you came in, you say, wow, I'm glad I came. you were able to encourage another as well as to be encouraged. We always reap what we sow, but regardless of all that, it's just been a wonderful thing. But now, what you need to know is that this ought not be just an 11 o'clock hour on Sunday mornings, and then you wait till the 11 o'clock hour next Sunday morning, 168 hours later. No, 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 no. You leave here filled with joy in your heart, giving weight to God's word and honoring him, because he's going to ask you. He's going to confront you when you're by yourself about your harvest. You may be getting a lot in, but if you got a bag that has holes in it, you can't keep any of that which has been given you. You may work hard and eat, but you seemingly are always hungry. You may buy clothes, but you seemingly always in need of warmth. And there's always more, because there's a devourer out there, and you can't get victory in your life. But if you listen to this invitation, return unto me, and I will return unto you. God says, come back to me, and here's what he does. Just like Matthew said when he was singing earlier, 1 John 1:9. I don't have it in my notes, but I have it in my heart that Matthew quoted, he's faithful and just to forgive us. God does a work of restoring. Jesus did the work of redemption. Jesus says it is finished on the cross. God did not say this, clean up yourself and return to me. Would you stand with me, please, as we close? God did not say this. God did not say, I want you all to go home, wait till next Sunday morning, 11 o'clock hour, and during the week I want you to clean yourself up. I want you to make yourself spiritually presentable to me. Clean yourself up and then come back to me. God didn't say that to these priests. He didn't say that to these people. Jesus didn't say that to anyone. God says, I'll clean you if you simply return to me. I'm the one that does the work, he says. I'll restore. It may be the majority of people here, maybe everyone save one, maybe just one person here has a lack in their life. This message is for you. And if you're on top of the mountain, I pray that you understand there are going to be valleys in your life, and you need to always think, when God confronts, what does he share with me? And how can I get his commendation, not just his condemnation? I want to know that I please my Father. In Malachi 3:16, it says this, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. He hears what's going on here today. He knows your thought process. He knows your heart. He knows if you sung joy or sung made a joyful noise unto the Lord. He knows. He hears. And in fact, in Malachi 3:16, he says, there's a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Question is this, where's your harvest? The invitation says, come. You may be a believer, but I do need to ask, has your name been written in the Lamb's book of life? It says, they shall be mine, those names that are written in there. God says to these people in verse 17 of Malachi 3, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now, jewels, you study that word, it means treasure. You're his treasure. And he wants to shower you with his blessing of grace and mercy and love. And he wants us to be a reflection of him. How is it with your life? I close with this thought. Some of us have come today as though this is the bank. Some people don't like to spend much time in the bank. Now we have ATMs. Or we'll do online banking. We don't even want to drive up to an ATM. But you know what a bank is. In many ways, church, the service of God is like to some of us like a bank, and people come to draw from it and conclude that they're not getting anything out of it. Some of you will leave here today, as great as this service has been, and you'll say this, I didn't get a thing out of it. Well, maybe we need to go back to the bank illustration. You can't make a withdrawal unless you've made a deposit. You must understand, for people to come and draw from the blessings of the Lord, and you've got to give of yourself to Jesus. When we wisely invest our earthly treasure, we can expect to not only draw from that which we've invested, but gain even more. Father, I pray as we have the song sung, if there's somebody here that needs to make a decision about where you want them to be in service, maybe pray for others. Maybe they'll pray right there in their pew. Maybe they need to come here and just get things right with you. Would you impress upon their heart if they're giving leftovers or giving you their best? Would you, Lord, help them to see their service shouldn't be drudgery? It should be something that's exciting. It should be something that is, their sacrifice shouldn't be despicable, but it should be a sweet-smelling savor to you. Lord, help us not to treat you and your church like a bank. And at the same time, we know that we can lay up in heaven treasures. So, Lord, if we just will come to you today, you'll do a work. We ask and pray this in Jesus' precious name. Would you come as we sing? If God speaks, would you come? Whatever the need, would you come? He's a great God, and there's no need too great that he can't meet. I don't care what your need is, how far down the road you've gone, God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Would you come? Allow him to minister to your soul. Would you come, please? Great question. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man. We cannot imagine the things that he's prepared for us. But even here as we pilgrim through this life, you nor I can imagine our hearts, what he could do in our life if we just allow our hearts to be pliable in his hands. Don't let them become hard. Let him soften your heart and come before his presence. Sing one more verse. Would you come as we sing? That's confrontation. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, your eyes are dry, you've never wept, Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem with Mary and Martha. He wept over Lazarus. They didn't understand. But sometimes we get so hard and cold and crusty, calloused, we don't understand. Let him do a work in your heart. Would you come? Yeah. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate your attention today. Would the instrumentals play through one more verse, Debbie, if you would, while we still have a couple praying? And you may be seated. We'll have you stand in just a moment to dismiss, but we're not going to rush these who are praying.